Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. This is Sherry Veronica, and I am in the studio alone today. So I don't know if I'll be able to talk for 30 minutes, but our show today was scheduled to speak about the history of the people who came from Africa and stayed in Barbados. We know from having Angela Cole and other historians on our radio show in the past that it is alleged, it is assumed, it is written in history that there was a race in Nigeria. And that race of people, that particular race of people, were called the Igbo, I-G-B-O. And they say that Barbadians are from that particular race. We see them as being very dark-skinned, short, not very good-looking, stocky-looking, more so if you know and you can look at Ronald Jones, that would be a good picture of what an Igbo would look like coming out of Africa. And we know that the ones that were sent, especially initially, were short, sick, and stupid. They were like the lowest within that community that were shipped out. Whether it was by consent of people in Africa, maybe the elders or whoever else had exalted positions within society, we are led to believe that the slaves that came and stayed in Barbados were of the stupid sort. They exhibited no type of learning. They did not have any skills. They were not in any way educated. So what happened, as we are led to believe, Barbadians were, during the slave trade, populated with stupid people. Those are the ones that remained comfortably in slavery. It seems as though as time went on, when they needed more slaves and there wasn't enough time to populate with children, that they had to take from a more educated sector within Africa, and they had to move from the Igbo to other tribes and other areas where there was a fight. There were ships that were sunk where the slaves dug holes. They ate into the dock of the ship with their teeth, with their fingers, with whatever they can get in their hands. They made sure that they never reached that destination. We are told that there were white enslavers that were killed, that black people from certain tribes could not and would not tolerate being treated inhumanely. If you did not treat them as a brother, as an equal, you weren't going to get anywhere. And when we think about Usain Bolt, we can see him as being from maybe that Ashanti or one of those more evolved tribes in Africa. you can look at some black men and you can see that there is an excellence associated with that particular black man. They're not going to put up with too, they would take or they would do what they have to do until they get to where they need to be, and then they would drop all of the colonial masking. They would, they do not want to associate with the colonial master's way of living if it means that they are a second-class citizen. And like I say, we can see that with some, within some islands, within some countries. In fact, Haiti was one of those countries that understood how they were as human beings. They understood their statehood. They understood that they had great presence and great conscience. In fact, the reason that they are as poor as they are now is because of, it's a backlash. It's the white man saying, you can do what you do, but we are not going to play with you. We're not going to trade with you. We're not going to be a part of any group that associates with you. And there was that backlash with Haiti because they were fearful. They were, no, they were not fearful. They fought. They fought tooth and nail. They fought the white man. We see that in Jamaica. We know that Jamaicans had a tribe of Maroons that went into the mountainous areas, and they fought the white man. And for a long time, even until this day, Jamaicans are marginalized as being aggressive. They were written into history as being mad. But you would call a Jamaican mad. You would say that some people are bipolar. But what about the people who enslaved you? What about the people who kept you in chains? What about people who cut your feet off? What about people who made laws that says or said that you were a slave? You had no freedoms. If you can look at a situation that is not normal and expect someone to behave normal within that situation, that's not normal. That in and of itself is not normal. So if you are in a situation and you behave abnormal, which is normal, then you have that categorizing of being mad or being bipolar or whatever other words you want to use. But from my way of seeing things, if there's anyone who was mad or bipolar, it had to be the colonial masters. It had to be people who stood to say that I am better than you, or you may not be, we may not be better, but you are lesser, like my Victor was saying. Someone that can look at you and think that you are lesser than them just by reasoning that your color is not right, your size of your nose is not right, your height is not right, the way you look may not be right, and the fact that you would allow yourself to be enslaved, that itself is not right. So when someone can use anything against someone to enslave them, and then you turn and you respect that person, you take their titles, you make laws that resemble their laws. And their laws are the laws that held you in slavery. You think that they are sane? And you would look at your brother who is protesting or who have an adverse reaction to something that is abnormal and say that he should go into an institution? How does that work in your brains? How does it work in your brain that someone who wants to seek freedom should be in an institution, and yet the people who were to kill and maim and to create genocide and to create great hardship to separate, to be prejudiced, to be bigoted, to be racist. You bow down to them. You praise them. You worship them. You're fine going to work for them. You go in, you sit, and you ask them for a job. You take their money. You laugh in their faces. They are the ones that are mad. They are the ones that are bi, tri, quad, whatever, polar. And a lot of people, when you talk to them about this designation of being bipolar, like I was saying, I spoke to Angela Cole at length, and some people may think she's bipolar, but she has a point. What is being bipolar? Is anyone living in Barbados, could they ever be considered bipolar, living in Barbados and enduring all the prejudices, enduring the second class title, enduring being pitted against each other, enduring injustices, seeing that some people are working above the law. Some people will go to jail, some people will not. Some people will go into the mental asylum, some people will not. When you live in a place like that, can you actually call someone who is behaving normal in an abnormal situation mentally ill? So it's a lot that has to be looked at. And like I said, I had planned for someone else to be on the show, and I wanted to be just sitting back and listening to him speak, but he got called away. But what do you know of your background? What do you as Barbadians know of who did you come from and where did your ancestors come from? And if there is something to this Igbo tribe that you come from, do you know that they were frowned on, that there were pedophiles, that there were pagans, that there were infidels? These are people that were con men. These were people that they were morally corrupt. That is the feedback. If you go on any site that talks about this particular African race, it doesn't represent well. And if that's where Barbadians came from, if it's in the blood, if it's in the DNA, can we sit and say, well, whatever we are, we have inherited it? Honestly, is there no reason to want to change because it's part of who you are? You came from the lowest of the lowest of Africa. We have a reason we can blame our ancestors. Is that where we are with the recognizing within ourselves that there may be something wrong, that something may need to be fixed? Is it too late for you to want to change yourself? Is it too late? A lot of people are saying it's over for Barbados. It's just too late. There's no turning back. Barbados is going down, down, down. There's no turning back. But is it too late for you to investigate why you think the way you think, why you behave the way you behave? Is it too late for you to do something as simple as that? Is it too late for you to want for your children not to be abused? Is it too late for you to say yes? Yes, from kindergarten, children are being sexualized. From primary school, children are being sexualized. Is it too late for you to say, yes, we need to revamp, we need to redo the child care board, we need to really pay emphasis, put a whole lot of emphasis on children and to make sure that they have a fair chance, because once they are abused, they act out, there's acting out. And acting out happens in the most deviant ways. Barbadians, you know that. This is nothing new to your ears. You know that. I was on the phone earlier speaking to someone from Barbadian heritage. where he talked about his wife and how she was sexually abused from age 6 until she was 13. I think the mother walked in on the brother having sex with her, and what the wife will say is, oh, he only would do it because he was under the influence of marijuana. Even she, in her adult life, made an excuse for the fact that she was raped from the time she was 6 until she was 13. When are we going to stand up and say there's something wrong within the black family? Or maybe there is no black family. Are there any black families that are standing? I don't mean faking relationships. I don't mean a fake scenario to make people think, oh, I'm married, and when there's a special occasion, you show up with your wife. Are there any black families that are really together in Barbados? Are people having children within marriages, or is it just getting pregnant and hoping and praying that the man supports the child? Every time you look at anything in the newspapers in Barbados and you see a woman crying out about injustice or something happening to a child, you never see the husband, you never see a man. There's always the woman and the child. Even when someone has a baby and they are parading on Facebook or online with the baby, you see a baby and you see the woman, but you never see the father of the child. Where is the father? Isn't he not proud that he has a baby from you? When are you going to get married? And let's say that we have said that marriage is a bunch of crap. You just, you know, you sign a whole lot of papers that mean nothing. If there's nothing to marriage, should you be reconsidering having children? If you're not going to have a man that is going to say to you, I'm with you in this, raising this child for 18 years. Not that marriage secures it, but usually when you have some paperwork, you can enforce something through the courts because it's a legal and binding situation. But if you do not even have a man that is willing to say that he is there for you to have and to raise this child with you for the next 18, maybe next 21 years, why even bother having children? Why bother having children and then lying to the children, telling them, well, your father and I were married, but we're divorced, when you never were married? Why have children and have the children come out paining and hurting that they never had a relationship with their father? Why have children when you know that even in the school system in Barbados, they cannot look to the teachers to be a role model? They cannot. You cannot look to a teacher in Barbados to be a role model, to be a mentor. It does not exist. So why are you having children when in Barbados they need to go to the white man and look and ask for a job? Are you not thinking that nothing has changed? Like Victor said on the show yesterday, since the emancipation, which there was no real emancipation if you're going back to ask the white man for a job, but he thinks that Barbadians have devolved. There has been no evolution in Barbados. The white man is still respected. The white man is still revered, and the black man still wants to take the titles of the colonial masters. Nothing has changed. In fact, it has gotten even worse. So where did you come from? Why are you so comfortably sitting in slavery? Why did you do it in the past? Why did your ancestors do it in the past? And why are you doing it now, in this future day, 2016? Why? Why? It's something to talk about. It's something you must want to know where you came from, where out of Africa you came from, where your roots came from. And why are so many Barbadian men finding pleasure with each other. Another thing that needs to be talked about, where did that come from? Where did it come from? I received a video yesterday with two hospital workers. The names were provided. The faces are on the video. They're not hiding. And they're very young, two very young men having sex. One is an orderly, and one, they say, is an engineer at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Barbados. They're both denying, not on the video, there's no denying that, but the reason I said they're denying is because they say these men have women. Now, when these videos come out, although you can see their faces, although you can recognize their bodies, you can recognize their voices, they always have a habit of saying, I was hacked, my phone was hacked, that's not me. They always have this habit of saying, there's so much technology out there, they put my face and make it look like me, but it's not really me. So it's like a playbook now that they have in Barbados, that when something is revealed, the first thing the person says is, their phone was hacked or someone is trying to frame them to make them look bad. But that's up to you if you want to keep on believing the lies. And it seems as though you like to believe, you just don't want to believe the truth for some reason. And you should look to see if that's an evil trait. You must look and investigate that tribe that came out of Africa, that landed in Barbados, that stayed in Barbados, the small, the stupid, the sickly. And you must try to figure out what other traits did our ancestors have that we are portraying even to this day. Have you ever gone to a white man in Barbados and asked for a job? You're probably an Igbo. You're probably an Igbo. Are you paying taxes? And is your vote speaking for you? Are your politicians working on your behalf? Do you think that you're paying exorbitant taxes? What is happening to you that you feel that you have no control over? If you are living in Barbados, and I'm not talking about the United States, because you cannot compare Barbados to the United States. The United States have everyone. It's made of immigrants. Everyone is in the United States. Barbados is predominantly Barbadian. And if you are living in your home state, but yet you feel as though you're out of control, you cannot do anything. Whoever you have in government, the servants that you put in government to speak on your behalf, they've gone sideways. You're Igbo. If your children are being raped even before they enter primary school, you're Igbo. If you have pedophiles on every corner, and pedophiles are not going to prison for lifetime periods, if a pedophile is not shown in the newspaper, if there's no documentation online, because we do live in a technological age, we do live, and there's something called the internet, and if there's something that has not erected and has not been created to make sure that anyone who is found guilty of that particular offense against a child is recorded on the internet, recorded for all to see, you are Igbo. If you are not planting your food, if you depend solely on the supermarket and the white people to bring in food for you to go and buy at real expensive costs, you're Igbo. Because it takes a stupid person for these things to happen to you. You cannot be intelligent and these things are happening around you. You cannot be intelligent and have no say in a place which is predominantly you. The people there look like you. The people there speak like you. But you cannot be that intelligent if you allow people like Maloney and people that don't look like you to be in control. You cannot be anything else other than an Igbo if you allow people that look like Burkham to have control. If everyone in your jails look like you, if your police department only focuses on black, poor people, you are an Igbo. You're still running away. You're still clamoring from the bottom of a barrel. Nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed. You're still looking, you're still quite dependent on the white man and the black people who are allowed to have any say, the black people who are allowed to have any money, that's at the pleasure of the white man. Everything that happens in Barbados happens because of the white man. So what is with this 50th independence anniversary when you're not really independent? You fool yourself. You continually fool yourself. Nothing has changed. You are still a second-class citizen. Men and women are third-class citizens in their own home. And then there is another thing that you must worry about in Barbados. I think maybe you should leave that for tomorrow. Yeah, that's a big subject. Maybe we'll have Victor on to help with it because I don't like to be talking this long. But, you know, with all of the homosexuality, we know that there are a lot of diseases in Barbados. And with all of the diseases in Barbados, we know that women are turning to women. There are a lot of lesbian relationships. And with all the lesbian relationships in Barbados, we know that sooner or later, there are going to be laws that is going to make Barbados the place internationally for homosexuals. It's a big subject. The big subject is something we talk about constantly. We talk about the fact that slavery and black people, our lives really don't matter, whether you want to believe it or not. We talk about if there were ever to be a catastrophe, we know that black people would be pegged to do the rebuilding. We know that. You know that. Black people would easily be made slaves off again. You will be easily become a slave again because you are the lowest on the totem pole, the lowest. You have not embraced family. You have not embraced any high sense of morality. People still see you as being thieves. When people see a black person at night, they are afraid. People still see you as being lazy in terms of working. So if you're lazy, employee, again, you are a thief because they think that they're not getting their money's worth. They're not much inventors. Even sometimes when they say, oh, this came from a black man and this came from a black man, but you sold it. Let's say the black man has a thought. You sold it. You sold that thought for money to a white man. So when you hear people being proud, oh, I'm proud to be black and I'm proud to be this, you don't hear white people talking like that. Only someone that has no reason to be proud talk like that. People that have it going on do not speak in those terms. You don't hear the Chinese saying, I'm happy to be Chinese, I'm proud to be Chinese. No one says they're proud to be Japanese. Don't hear it. The only people you hear speaking like that are black people. And like I said, and like we've discussed and we've talked about it on this show, if shit hits the fan, black people are going to be enslaved again because we are broken. We are not together. We don't have a cohesive grip on each other. That's it. run out of time. I actually talked for half an hour. Thank you for joining me. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the link. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Winds by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.